Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So let us examine tonight, just for a little bit, the benefits of fasting and see how that can boost our faith. There's, of course, a whole chapter here in the Bible that is devoted to fasting in Isaiah chapter 58. So let's take a look at that and see a few things that we want to point out that the Lord will have us know. Now, we've already referred to the scripture that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6 when we fast, that we should not wear long faces, do all of these things, so that people will know that we are fasting. Because if we do that, we don't really get any other reward from the Lord. You know, but if we fast the correct way, that's when we get reward. Now, this chapter of Isaiah 58 challenges people to fast the right way. It admonishes us in many ways and gives us many secrets. And it says that, you know, some people say that, you know, we fast, we seek the Lord, but the Lord doesn't answer. Why? You say, well, because you are not doing it the right way. So this is what this chapter of 58 Isaiah talks about. Let's read it. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching unto God. Now, these are people like us. You know, they have the service of God upon their lips and so on, and they do all of these things. But the Lord is saying, well, there's still something wrong with the way they are seeking the Lord. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Because in the day of your fast you seek pleasure, and exact all your labors. So this is something that is wrong with fasting. You know, if we fast and we don't spend time, that's the reason why we call it consecration. Take time out. Sometimes it's not always possible, because you have to go to work. You still have to mingle with people. The ideal is if we can lock ourselves in our closet and just seek the face of the Lord. That's not always possible, but at the same time, we can put our minds upon the Lord. Now, when you fast, he said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day that a man shall afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and acceptable day unto the Lord? I mean, what kind of fast has God actually chosen? Let's see it here from verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Now, we're going to apply some of these things in two ways. Physically speaking, and also spiritually speaking. The Lord said this is the kind of fast that he has chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. You know, so, you know, get rid of anything that is unrighteous. To undo the heavy burdens. Sometimes people afflict others with, you know, things that are too much for them. I mean, some people have workers or servants, and they put too much load upon them that they can't even bear. Undo those burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. He said, this is the kind of fast that I'm looking for. So let's take a look at it also spiritually. Spiritually speaking, it means that when we fast the proper way, we can break and loosen the bands of wickedness. Amen? We can also undo heavy burdens. Any kind of thing that Satan has laid in upon loved ones or even upon yourself, through fasting, we can break it. And we can let the oppressed go free. That means also we can set the captive free by fasting, and that we can also break every yoke. Amen. There are some yokes and some oppression that need fasting to be broken. Jesus said it to the disciples. They were not fasting, and when they were faced with some tough demons, they couldn't cast it out. And they said, why couldn't we do this? He said, well, first of all, because of your unbelief. And then second of all, he told them, well, this kind will not go out except by prayer and fasting. Again, in verse 7 of Isaiah 58, he said, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thy flesh, thyself from thy own flesh. So, actually, when we fast, you know, a greater blessing will be to give the food that you would have eaten that day to the ones that are hungry. Find the homeless. Find the people that need it more and give it to them. That will be a greater blessing. But it also means, spiritually speaking, that when we fast, we should also hear the word of God. We should also, you know, feed our souls, our hungry souls, with the word of God. You know, if we fast and we don't engage in spiritual things, like seeking the Lord, reading his word and praying, then it's not really a fast that benefits our spirit. It's just just that we are missing a few meals if we do that. To get the proper benefit of fasting, we must read the word, you know, when we are fasting. Now, here are some direct benefits that he begins to lay out. He said, when you fast the right way, look at verse 8, then shall thy light break forth in the morning, or as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Can we say amen to that? I love that. You know, it means fasting can actually also improve your health when you do it the right way. And fasting, he says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Basically, what fasting does, the psalmist said, I humbled my soul with fasting. The arrogance and the pride and the bands of iniquity are broken. You see, we break off, you know, our sins by righteousness. That's what, Daniel begin to tell Nebuchadnezzar, and also his son there, look, break off your sins by righteousness, you know, and begin to seek the Lord, and so on. Your righteousness will break forth and go forth before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Isn't that wonderful? It means righteousness is going in front of you, and the glory of the Lord is covering your back. God's got your back when you fast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to verse 9. Then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. So when we do fasting the right way, we take away all of the things that are unnecessary, and the things that offend, and we do not point the finger accusing others and so forth like that, and we just seek the Lord in humility, and we are not speaking any vanity during those days of fasting. He said, when you call, I will answer. That's a great promise. I know that I would love the Lord to answer every time I call, and I know he does. But he said, when you call, I will answer. And when you cry, I will say, here I am. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And now, if you draw out your soul to the hungry, and you satisfy the afflicted soul, if you do all of these things, even during your fast, Then your light shall rise in obscurity. You will never be in darkness. Amen. And thy darkness shall be even as the noonday. Consider if your darkness is at the noonday, what will your light be like? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. I mean, that alone is worth the price of fasting. The Lord shall guide you continually. And he will satisfy your soul in drought. Amen. That means you will not be lean, and the famine in the land and all of these things will not affect you. The Lord has a way to do it. He will also make fat your bones. You know, normally when you fast, if you fast a long time, you might actually emaciate a little bit. But spiritually speaking, the Lord will make fat your bones. Amen. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. I mean, you're always going to be producing good things in your life by seeking the Lord with fasting. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. My goodness. A breach is when something is broken that was promised and you can't attain it. But the Lord says, even through fasting and so forth, you can begin to bring the promises of God to pass, not only in your life, but also in the life of others, standing in the gap. Now, if thou turn away thy fruit from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable. And you shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, and finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. If you do all of these things, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon thy high places of the ark. Hallelujah. God will cause you. You know, that this all these last two verses means seek the Lord first. On a day of worship, when it is time for us to gather together, you know, make your way to the house of the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon your high places, even the high places of the earth. And I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Can you say amen? There are many wonderful promises here, and these things boost our faith. And I want to admonish us a little bit about faith. You know, faith is that thing that the Bible describes in Hebrews 11 and 1 as the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things that we have not yet been seen. Well, I want to tell us tonight that faith, in order to be valid, must be based on the Word of God. It is only what God has promised. When we put our faith in that, that's what God is going to do. God is only bound by His Word. Now, why is faith so important? Well, there are two reasons, many reasons. One reason is, by faith we are saved. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. We cannot be saved any other way. It's the grace of God, but it's also by faith. If we do not believe, we cannot be saved. And it is again important because Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? He could have asked that question about any other attribute, but it was faith that he chose to ask. Shall he find faith when he comes? When you have been believing God. Because he said, do not be weary, for the Lord shall answer his elect speedily. But when he comes, see, when we are at the point of faith, when we are believing God for something, most of the time that people give up is when the answer is just round the corner. But Jesus said, look, when I come, will you still be at a point of faith and still believing? And again, in the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, if we want to please the Lord, and I'm sure everybody wants to, there's a secret here that we are given in the Bible, that faith is the key to pleasing the Lord. Because if we don't have faith, then we are not sanctifying the Lord in our heart. And when the Lord says something and we don't believe, that is like we grieve the Holy One of Israel. The children of Israel, they did that so many times in the wilderness until God had to say, how long will I suffer these stiff-necked people? They won't believe anything. Even though they've seen the miracles of God over and over again. But when a new challenge comes, they don't believe. And the Bible says, even though God brought them out with a mighty hand, yet afterwards, he destroyed them that believed not. So faith is so important. Now, in this church, we try to teach faith, and we preach faith up and down, sideways, any way you want, because it is so important. Faith is also what is going to get us out of this world. There is such a thing as translative faith. And when we arrive at that kind of faith, it's a fixed point in our lives by constantly pressing toward the light and drawing away from the darkness and moving towards the light. Someday our faith reaches a crescendo and we're gone, translated. I believe that the Lord, if anybody can attain to that point, he can have a personal translation just like Enoch did. Hallelujah. We know there's coming a group translation for the church. But God left us a promise. Enoch was not translated in a group. He walked with God and he was translated. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, if you want to turn with me, let's read a few testimonies of their heroes of faith. God, it is important that we boost our faith. There's nothing to be gained by not believing God. We are the one that is going to lose. When God has promised something, why can't we believe? I mean, believing God is really not that hard. You just take God as his word. That's all there is to it. If God says it, that settles it. You believe it. Amen. Amen, folks. That's right. That's the way I operate, by the grace of God. Now, by faith, Enoch in verse 5 of Hebrews 11 was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. Now, this man is never going to see death. Some people think that Enoch's going to come by and die. No, this scripture right here disproves that. He was translated that he should not see death. You know? And he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, look at the underscoring that the Bible puts here in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe God. Noah, in the next verse, he believed God. By faith, the Bible says, Noah being warned of things to come, he moved with fear, to the which he saved his family, and he condemned the whole world. Well, folks, when one person believes God, that condemns the rest of the people that don't believe. And God will always have somebody to believe. because God will always have a remnant. But the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us that even if everybody doesn't believe, that will not make the word of God of none effect. For what if some did not believe? Shall that make the word of faith of God of none effect? Absolutely not. But I promise you, there will always be at least one person that will believe. Amen? Because I have settled it in my heart that I will believe the Lord. I'll always believe the Lord. So help me God. Amen. Now, God also talked about Abraham, all the things that he endured, how that God called him to go and inherit a place that after what he should receive, and he went by faith, not knowing where he went, but he believed God. God didn't tell him everything, but he believed God. And sometimes God doesn't show us everything, and God doesn't owe it to us to tell us everything. Some people think that God have to tell them everything. No, you got to believe God. Amen. If he tells us, wonderful. If he doesn't tell us, wonderful. We follow him anyway. He's a good shepherd, and he will never lead us astray. Amen. Now, he went and sojourned in a land that he knew not, and so forth. And he, you know, by faith also he received the promise of Isaac. After many, many years, he came. The word of God will never fail. Hallelujah. And also by faith, he passed on the knowledge of God to Isaac. He passed it on to the generations down the line. They began to pass it down among all of them. And the whole time, everywhere they were going, you know, they considered themselves strangers. God said, you are in a land here as strangers. But I'm taking you to a land of promise. So the whole time until they got to that land of promise, they considered themselves as strangers. But they looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. The whole time he was looking for a city. Folks, are you looking for a city or have you settled in? You know, we settle in sometimes. You know, we just settle into the world as if this is the end. You know, we all have challenges. We got to work. We got to go to school. We got to do all these things, raise kids and so forth. But all these people in the Bible raised kids. Enoch married and raised kids and did all these things, you know. But yet he walked with God. And God took him. Amen. So, now, we continue with the heroes of faith. All the people, Sarah herself, we are told, received strength to give birth, even though she was past the flower of her age, you know, and she did not even consider the deadness of her womb as if it was anything. You know, God was able to bring it forth, even if it was dead. Remember the sermon from 2 weeks ago. It is not dead. It's only asleep. There's nothing really dead to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And therefore sprang there of one, many as the multitude as the sands of the sea. These are heroes of faith. Look at verse 13. This is my pivotal verse that I use when I'm teaching on the subject of faith. This verse 13 has secrets in there. And I will share it with us again tonight. I've shared it many times here in the church. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth because they believed they were going to a better place. There are four elements here, and I preach this message. You'll find on the website under different topics. One is the anatomy of faith and the essentials of faith, and so many places we've preached it. There are four elements here in this verse that I like to call SPEC. It's an acronym, S, P, E, and C. S is to see the promise. Before we can obtain the promise, we have to first of all see the promise.
That means you must see it in the word of God. So the first thing is to see the promise. Now, God has spoken some promises in the Bible, and we are told that even by these promises, we can obtain and become partakers of the divine nature. We must believe the promise of God, but you can't know it if you don't read the Bible. So the first thing is to search out the promise of God. I encourage people when we are praying, first, find a promise for the prayer that you are making. If God hasn't promised it, don't worry about it. Don't even pray. But if he has promised this, you latch onto his promise. Amen. And you speak his promise back to him. So the first thing is he asks to see the promise of God. The second thing is that when they saw the promise afar off, the letter P stands for persuaded. They were persuaded. Persuaded means, you know, we are told the same thing in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham, that he was persuaded that what God promised he was able to bring. He staggered not at the promise of God, but he was persuaded and he was strong in faith, believing God. You know, you can read that in Romans 4 and verses 19 and 20 and so on. So, when you see the promise of God and you are persuaded that it is God is able to do what he has promised, that's non-negotiable. For things that God has promised to happen in our life, we must be persuaded that God is able to do it. Amen. The children of Israel, many times they were not persuaded. They did not believe. And that's not good. The next step is to embrace it for yourself. Most of the time people believe that God can do things. But do you believe that he can do it for you in your situation? Everybody believes that God can raise the dead. I mean, people who know anything about God, we've seen it in the scriptures and so forth. But do we really believe that God can raise the dead if somebody were to die? You know, everybody believes that God can do all these miracles and so forth. My God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. That's a promise. We believe that God can do it. But when it comes to your personal situation, do you actually embrace that promise for yourself? It's not just that God can do it for the whole world, but it can do it for me. And I must embrace that promise. So you must first of all see the promise in the word of God. Then you must be persuaded that God is able to do it. And now you must embrace it for yourself. Not just that God can do it for somebody else, but you must embrace it for yourself. So we've talked about S, P, and C, and E. The next one is C. Then you must confess it. You must believe God. Abraham, he started to confess, you know, what God had promised him. When he didn't even have a child, he changed his name. He said, God told me to change my name. He changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. So he was confessing, even by his name, he was confessing that he would be the father of nations. And you can only imagine how people would mock him then. That you don't even have a child. Now you're going to be the father of nations. We always knew that you were crazy. But we didn't realize that you were this stupid. Are you now, being childless, going to do more valiantly than all of us that have our children round about our tables? Even we that have many children, we do not call ourselves father of many nations. And look at you. At 75, at 80, at 85, at 90, you don't have a child, yet you are calling yourself father of nations. Father of nations, nothing. And they could have mocked him. But he changed his name. He started confessing the promise. And confession finally brought the possession. Amen. So, these are the four elements so critical to faith. And you can read the rest of the fifth chapter, all the things that they did. I like verse 33 also. He said, who through faith subdued kingdoms. You know, these people, he said, look, time will not permit me to tell of all of these people who did great things. The whole chapter was telling of all the great things that people did. You know, and do you know that this chapter of 11 of Hebrews is not closed? God is still writing the acts of faith down. Amen? He is still writing it down. You know, is your name going to be among the annals of faith?
Are you going to be in God's hall of faith? You know, like these people. He said, look, time will not permit me to tell of all these other things and all these other people, like Gideon, like Barak, not this Barak, you know, like Samson, like Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, Daniel was one of those that subdued kingdoms by faith. Amen? He rose from slavery to ruling the kingdom. And it was by faith. Now, all these people did many things. They also quenched the violence of fire. Daniel's companions, his prayer partners, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they quenched the violence of fire through faith. They went in there, they said, look, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We already know our answer. We will not bow. But the first thing they said is, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Hallelujah. That is non-negotiable. Whether God will do it that way or not, that's his business. But in our heart, we must settle it that God is able to do it. That is non-negotiable. And these people said, look, under the penalty of death, when you hear, they told them, when you hear the music, if you are willing to bow right now, we'll let you go free. And they said, we're not going to bow to your gods or dance to all this music that you are playing. We know that our God said, look, I'm going to heat up this thing 7 times. I'm going to throw you and everything in there. Well, we already have our answer. Take 1 hour to think about it and tell me. No, king, there is no need for us to think about it. We know our answer already. Amen. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. We already know the answer. You know, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. That settles it right there. However, even if he doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow. Hallelujah! That represents Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, where he said they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto their death. These people didn't care whether they were going to be killed. They said, we don't care if we're going to the fire or not. We will not bow. Now, that's some true Jew. Amen. Thou shalt serve only the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. You shall love him with all your heart. And thou shalt not bow thyself to any image, either in heaven or on earth or anything. And they knew the word of God. They stood by it. And by faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They were thrown in there bound. The next thing they saw, they were walking loose. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord was there to deliver them. They waxed strong. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in flight. And they turned to fly the armies of their aliens. Even women received their dead raised again to life. And all these things. Some of them had trials of cruel mockings and all these things they did. Heroes of faith. They went through all of these things. And we have an opportunity every day of our lives to also be a hero of faith. When we are faced with challenges, it's an opportunity for us to exercise our faith. Amen. And it's an opportunity for us to get a testimony and to see the goodness of the Lord. So never be daunted by anything that faces you. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, turn with me to verse 5. We are told that, look, if the simple things of life that you face every day get the better of you, what are you going to do when you have a real problem or all hell is breaking loose, if we can use that word? And one of these days, it's going to break loose, even in this nation. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5 says, if thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee,
How can you contend with horses? You run against footmen, you don't win. How are you going to win against horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, right now, there may be peace, you may be trusting it and so forth. You know, he said they have even wearied thee. All your problems have gotten the better of you, even when there is peace. The little challenges get the better of you. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the overswelling of Jordan? What are you going to do when all hell really breaks loose? If the little things get the better of you. So we must win every battle. Amen. Win every battle. On the finish line. Hallelujah. And don't let the devil get the better of you in anything. Use your faith every single time. Now, faith, unlike your bank account, the more you spend out of it, the less you have. Faith, the more you use it, the more you actually have. Praise the Lord. They asked Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus said, well, look, it's not about increasing your faith. You're not even using what you already have. If you have faith as little as this grain of a mustard seed, which is the least of any of these trees, of the seeds, but grows into a gigantic tree, you can actually say to this mountain, move. But Jesus is teaching us something there, that look, you can start with a little faith. But if you put that faith in the word of God, it's going to grow to a gigantic tree. Say, the kingdom of God is like a little mustard seed. That's your faith. And you put that seed into the word of God, it blossoms and grows into something huge and tremendous. Something that can even pull down mountains and so forth like that. Praise the Lord. Now, this being Faith Lab and all, I thought I would just exhort us on faith. So let us rise to our feet and exercise our faith tonight. Let's rise to our feet and exercise our faith. Faith, we are told, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. What does it mean, evidence? It means like God promised something. You haven't seen it yet. And somebody say, how do you know you are going to get it? By my faith. That's all. Because God promised and I believe it, that settles it. And I move on. Praise the Lord. You win one battle, it's like the rungs of a ladder. You know, there is no end to this journey until we get there. You win one battle, there's another one next time. You win today, there's another one facing you tomorrow. But you got to keep winning. Hallelujah. Every battle, we must win. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's exercise our faith tonight. Is there something that we believe God for? Is there anything that is too hard for the Lord to do? I mean, God will ask Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. And Jeremiah told the Lord, you are the God of all flesh. And the Lord came back and told him, yes, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me? Folks, every little thing that concerns us, God cares about it. All the big things that overwhelm us, God cares about that too. Praise the Lord. So from the little things to the big things, we use our faith every day to win. Now let's exercise our faith tonight. I'm going to tell us something. And if you can believe God and do as I say, it's going to happen. If you believe God, say amen. Well, we don't seem to believe God too much. If you believe God, say amen.
Amen.
All we have to do is believe the word of God and repeat his word. And when we stand to declare the word of God, look, you know, the word of God is eternal. Somebody told me yesterday, I was in a prayer meeting somewhere, and somebody told me a testimony
that somebody else said. And this is probably, it's got to be at least 35 years ago. Actually, I think it was in 1977. I was there in the fellowship and the brother was recounting it to this sister who was at the party on Sunday. And they called from Nigeria and said, well, I was at such and such a party. I said, oh. And then he told her something. And she told it to me yesterday. I didn't remember it. But here's what he said. He said, I declared something in the house, in the fellowship. I said, write down these seven things that you want the Lord to do for you. And God said, before you leave this service, he's going to start doing it. Even from the last one, going backwards. And that's a strange thing to say. I don't remember. But the brother said it happened for him exactly like that. And he remembered it. You know, wow. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, I'm not going to ask you to write down seven things. But I'm going to ask you to zero in on something. You zero in on something that you want the Lord to do for you. And if we can believe God together, see, this is the secret. If you can get the people to believe God with you, God can do anything for them. So if we can believe God together, Bible says, as touching anything that two of you may agree on, God will do it. Let's believe God together. Put that thing in your heart right now. Every head raised here in expectation. Let's raise our heads. Expecting God to do something. Because the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory in Psalm 24 shall come in. Yeah. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, mighty in battle. Yes. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, in expectation, and let the King of glory come in. Now let's zero in on something that we are believing God for. It could be for yourself. It could be for a family member. It could be in the ministry. It could be, you know, situation, personal situation, job, whatever it is. Doesn't make any Lord any difference. Believe the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's use our faith. This is Faith Lab after all. It's a place where you practice and you use your faith. Let's believe God. And I will declare prayer. I want every one of you, raise your voices and believe God right now. And I'll give you a moment to pray, and then I will declare a word in agreement with you, and God is going to do it. Amen. Let's take a minute to pray, every one of us here. I want you to pray and just pour out your heart before the Lord. Remember also, if you are fasting and seeking the Lord, the Bible says that when you fast and you pray, he said, then, you know, you will call and I will answer. You will cry and I will say, here I am. Isn't that wonderful, folks? God will be at your bidding. And if you know how to use your faith, God will watch over your word as though he was his own. Anything that you say, God can do it too. Because you are already soaked in the word of God. You know the word of God. You will not say anything outside the word of God. So if you speak that word, God will back it up. Hallelujah. With my comprehensive faith in the word of God, I can do all things. I can even move mountains. There's a song we used to sing like that. I can do all of these things. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let's believe the Lord together. Hallelujah. I want everybody that is here, come forward if you would. Let's form a circle here and we're going to join hands. Everybody that's here, come down here. Let's form a circle. And let's believe God. Hallelujah. There is power in touch. Jesus himself said it. Anything you believe as touching anything. Although we know it means concerning, but it's also touch. I have done that thing literally. Place my hand on something that I'm believing God for. Write it down, piece of paper or whatever, and believe God for it. And God does it. Hallelujah. Let's form a circle. Sister Rochelle, get in the circle, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus the Lord. He has the power We are told in heaven and on earth, Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth is delivered unto me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to pray for the person on your left. I want you to pray for the... Don't pray for yourself right now. You pray for the person on your left. And you pray for the person on your right. And you say, Lord God, I'm believing God with them. Whatever it is that they are believing God for. You believe God for somebody else. And God is going to take care of your situation. You don't worry about it. You reach out to somebody. That's what we are read in the book of Isaiah 58. Reach out to somebody else. God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Let's pray for everybody. Pray for the person on your left. And pray for the person on your right. Hallelujah. Oh, Sariba la kunde sheteri la ba. Undiara sokenderi matoshi la kahande saboria. On my right and on my left, Lord, I pray for these your children. Whatever lies ahead of them, you know it all. You know the end from the beginning. Guide them through, O Lord. So the Lord shall guide you continually. Give them that breakthrough. Hallelujah. Whatever is in their heart in this hour, Lord, as they believe the Lord, and I believe with them also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do it, O Lord, to the glory of your name. Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have declared. Lord, I declare upon everyone that is here tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, even the glory of the Lord shall be your rare reward.
Amen.
Even your darkness shall be as the noonday.
Yes, sir.
The Lord will go. Righteousness shall go before you. Amen. Amen. And the Lord will hear you continually. When you pray, Amen. He said, I will answer. Amen. When you cry, I will say, here I am.
Yes,
Lord, tonight, we call upon your name.
Yes.
Hear us, O God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are not like those people that will cry all night and cut themselves all night. You know, and Elijah will chide them and say, where is your God? Our God, he is God.
Yes.
The Lord, he is God.
Amen.
And he's the God that answered by fire.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now answer your people tonight.
Aya.
Everything that has been in their hearts, so Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Answer it by fire tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Whatever they are believing God for. Concerning the ministry. Concerning their spouses, concerning their children, concerning their grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, concerning their families, concerning their jobs, concerning their health, concerning anything, even what lies ahead. As a young person going to college, everything that lies ahead, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we are believing you tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we have not yet seen.
Amen.
But it is clear to us that you are able to do it.
Amen.
Therefore we believe God.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, sirs, I believe God.
Amen.
We believe God tonight concerning all of his promises.
Amen.
Jesus said, believest thou that I'm able to do this?
Amen.
Our answer, Lord, tonight, the answer of faith is yes. God, you are able to do it.
Amen.
We have settled it in our hearts tonight. Settle it in your hearts, brethren. Settle it in your hearts that God is able to do it.
Amen.
Don't wave to the left or the right. Don't even worry about how he's going to do it. That's not your business. You just settle in your heart that God is able to do it. Hallelujah. That is non-negotiable, folks. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the word of God.
Amen.
It is forever settled in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing this chorus as we are in this circle of faith. We have moved beyond prayer now.
Yes.
We have moved to the circle of faith.
Yes.
Because there's such a thing as praying and there's such a thing as believing God.
Amen.
We are now in the circle of faith.
Amen.
Not just a circle of prayer.
Thank you.
So forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
That's all that you need to. You need to know that God's word is already settled.
Amen.
Don't worry about how he's going to bring it to pass on earth. Never mind. He has already given the decree in heaven.
Amen.
And there are great company that will publish it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled in heaven forever, forever, O Lord. Amen. Thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled in heaven forever, forever, O Lord. Amen. Thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled in heaven forever. Forever, O Lord, amen. Thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled in heaven forever, forever, O Lord, amen. Thy word is settled, it is settled, it is settled in my heart forever, forever, O Lord, amen. Thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled in my heart forever, forever, O Lord. Amen. Thy word is settled in heaven, and it is settled in my heart. Is it settled in your heart?
Amen.
Settle it therefore in your heart, saith the Lord.
Amen.
That my word that has gone forth from my mouth shall not return unto me void.
No.
But it shall accomplish the purpose whereunto I send it.
Amen.
And it shall go and prosper in the thing unto which it is determined.
Amen.
The word of God that has gone forth shall never return void.
Amen.
And he says unto you today, for ye shall go out with joy.
Amen.
And you shall be led forth with peace.
Amen.
The mountains, sir, and the hills shall break forth before you into singing.
Amen.
And all the trees of the field, they shall line up and they shall clap their hands for you.
Amen.
They will celebrate your success.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Christ. Father, we thank you tonight.
Amen.
We receive your word.
Amen.
And we thank you. Cherish.
Amen.
We cherish that word, Lord.
Amen.
We know that the word of God will sustain itself.
Amen.
Whatever you have spoken, it will not return void.
Amen.
It will accomplish its purpose.
Amen.
It will prosper anything whereunto it is set.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the praise.
Amen.
And all the glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord.